Okay, we're ready to call the meeting back to order. Move on to item number nine, wildlife conflict rules. This is a decision. Dave Ware, Game Division Manager, will help remind us what we're deciding on here.
Commission, for the record again, my name's Dave Ware. I'm the Game Division Manager for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And we're here today to talk about wildlife conflict rules. As the chair mentioned, this is a rule adoption. We started this earlier this fall in an attempt to bring several of our rules regarding wildlife conflict more to be consistent with our Wolf Conservation and Management Plan. There's a few other items in here that are associated with just clarification and cleanup of some things. Since we presented the conflict rules in November, there's been some question about our authority, especially to on a couple of the rules, and those two rules had to do with payment for non-commercial livestock losses, as well as for compensation for those non-commercial livestock losses and what animals could be compensated. You probably remember the discussion about the value of mules at the November meeting that we corrected then. But at this point, we're recommending that we drop those two rule proposals, but just continue to adopt the amendments that were proposed in November. How did I head the wrong way? And so again, the main intent is to get us started down the road of making our rules a little more consistent with the Wolf Conservation and Management Plan. And so the revised recommendation continues to move forward. The parts that are still left help us set the stage for making our rules more consistent with the plan. The idea is that part of what we're proposing to the legislature this winter will clarify our authority, so then we'll bring these back probably in early summer and seek your support for them and adoption of them at that time. The reason that we're continuing with what we have left on the table are the amendments that we're requesting that be made is that it still covers several of the wolf management issues, and in particular we have these agreements that we're trying to enter into with some of the livestock operators, and parts of this compensation rules associated with these conflict WACs help us demonstrate more of a commitment to considering losses for producers that go beyond just what's confirmed and or probable. So we maintained in 030, we're maintaining the definitions for guard dog and livestock, although they won't be used until we actually change the rules later. We also talked about, again, entering into agreements with the department, and some good news on that front. We are starting to get more and more agreements. We had one as of a couple of weeks ago, but last night we were able to get six new ones in Klickitat County, and today we're in the process of signing another one in Walla Walla County and another one in Okanagan County. So people are starting to weigh in and agree to these agreements with the department and talk about some of the non-lethal measures. Again, just to remind you what's in those agreements. They start with the non-lethal measures that a producer agrees to do. If they're looking for some compensation to help fund those non-lethal measures, then we provide that. And then, of course, we would consider losses outside of the confirmed and probable. Although, again, we have not developed a way to quantify how much we would be willing to pay for those things. That's something that's been identified in the Wolf Plan, that we would look at those things, and so we still have some process to do there before we're ready to do that. One thing that we heard, a couple of things that we do lose by dropping both 232, 36, 250, and 260 is that we had worked out a fairly specific way to compensate for losses, and it had to do with market values and market rate that we had developed that with Washington State Cattlemen's Association. Although it won't be identified in rule, the agency does have the authority to do that as part of 7736, the statute, 7736120. So we are able to do that. I think it's stronger if we can do that in rule, but we do plan to be able to move forward with that. We also lose the prioritization process that we identified that prioritizes payments to producers that have an agreement with the department. And then you heard this morning from the Washington State Farm Bureau that they'd like to see us delete the part about not being able to carry a claim if there's not enough funds to carry a claim across biennial lines. So those things are all dropped when we dropped those two new regulations. And just again, a reminder, we are leaving in this dispute part, 232-36-400, and it sets up in a livestock appeals committee to help us deal with producer disputes if they don't agree with our compensation offer. And a lot of the other things that are in there, because I know there's a lot of red lines in there, but a lot of the other things are just to make us more consistent with the Administrative Procedures Act, and they were recommended by the our Attorney General's office. You probably remember some public comment in November about the rules, and the only reason that I put this slide in here was just to give me the opportunity to say that we are continuing to work with the environmental community as well as the livestock community on those how we might compensate for some of those things that are a little more nebulous, like loss of weight gains and greater than normal losses on open range. And so again, we haven't, even though we're leaving some pieces of that in this proposal, we haven't developed the compensation mechanism, but we will. We'll follow the plan, and we will continue to work on trying to figure out that mechanism. Mm-hmm. Take any questions?
Okay, thank you. Questions? Commissioner Kaney?
Just so I understand, Dave, what is the limit per producer? And if you were to reach 30 agreements and exhaust all the funds, what's the scenario there? Or 40, you know, some amount of agreements that you don't have enough funds if everyone claimed. Can you just talk about that a little bit so we understand that clearly?
Sure, for everybody who might be interested in an agreement. And at this point, we have $50,000 that the legislature appropriated for compensation. And we have another $50,000 that we've allocated or allotted for assistance to producers on these non-lethal measures. And at this point, with eight agreements, we're around the $30,000 range in terms of our commitment. And that's an annual commitment, and we've talked to the producers about that. And so their contracts essentially coincide with our fiscal year. And so we would have another $50,000 available the following year. And so for some producers, they're going to be able to address their needs with one contract or 1 year's worth of funding, and others would be prioritized for future years. But we would have to set up a prioritization process so that we can do a better job of allocating the money. But at this point, we're still a ways away from obligating all of the funds.
So you're saying that you're committed, so some of those dollars are for cost-shared items, mm-hmm. and some of those dollars are for compensation if the need arises.
Correct.
Okay.
Commissioner Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's a good thing that you're moving ahead on this agreement thing, and I'm really glad that a lot of the ranchers are taking advantage of it. But as you get more and more of these signed, that's going to obligate the department to follow through on some of the things that they've committed to if a person signs up on this. Are you going to be able to service that requirement?
Commitment. Certainly, we wouldn't obligate ourselves to anything that we didn't have existing funding for, but just as a reminder, we have over 600 agreements with landowners right now, but most of those are on ag ground and agricultural ground, and it's for hunter access as well as habitat improvements on that property. And so, the same staff that are developing these livestock agreements are also the ones that understand the commitments that we make to landowners and that we need to fulfill them. And so we've got a good track record of being able to fill what we do.
I noticed somewhere in here, and I'm not able to find it right this minute, but you indicated that if public hunting was not allowed on the private property involved, but it was determined that hunting wouldn't really have much of an effect one way or another on the particular damage, is that still part of the proposal?
That particular clause, we use that as a standard part of our landowner agreements, but that particular clause was eliminated from these livestock agreements because most of these are geared at wolves, and of course there's hunting is not a part of wolf management at this point.
Okay, but it would be for like deer and elk and so forth.
Right, so it's still part of our template for deer and elk agreements.
And I guess what I was concerned about is if the damage occurs in the spring, then hunting may not have any effect one way or another on it. And I think a landowner should still be eligible for damage if we have a damage program if the hunting isn't going to have much of an impact on whether the damage occurs or not.
Right, and so that decision is made at the local level between the department staff and the landowner. And so the context, if you recall the definition of access that we developed as part of that that series of WACs associated with access, specifically stipulated that the access would have to help alleviate the landowner's damage.
Okay, good. One other thing right now on page of the handout of page 5 and 6, paragraph 3I on page 5, the or pets is crossed out. But on page 6, item A at the top, or pets is kept in. Is that correct or is that a mistake?
No, that's correct. The issue was that section 1 deals with commercial livestock and commercial crops, and so pets are not considered commercial livestock by definition. But in Section 2, you're dealing with protection of all property, which would include pets.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is sort of the, going back to, and you weren't here this morning, I don't think, but the at versus of type level of discussion for the WAC language. So I'm looking at page 4, the first paragraph, 232.36.051. And the first sentence reads, Fish and Wildlife Commission is authorized to classify wildlife as game, as endangered or protected, or as a predatory bird consistent with the RCW. I'm thinking that we can classify them as game and as endangered and as a predatory bird. And the way this reads to me, it's one of those three categories. So I'm just wondering if that sentence is written broadly enough, because I'm thinking, I don't know, we don't really hunt hawks, but if we did, it could be game, it could be a fruition, so it's state protected, and if it's a predatory bird. So, and part of the reason I'm looking at that is because I think that's not the way we want it to read. You can be game and endangered or protected, and not or. We talk about game in that sentence, and then at the bottom of the page under 1A, we talk about big game. Should we be talking about game or big game? It seems like we should be using those two terms consistently, or do that make a difference?
In the case of big game, that's defined in the previous WAC, and it's consistent with the definition of big game that's found in statute. And so all we did was carry over the same definitions into our WAC, and that is different than the Commission's authority to classify species as game.
So we can classify it as game, and the legislature can classify individual species as big game?
Game, yes.
And the important distinction between that is?
It carries with it, or they carry with them those definitions, different penalties in terms of and different priorities, if you will, in terms of management of those species. And so big game typically carries a larger penalty for illegal harvest or a lot of the other rules and regulations associated with how big game may be managed. Game has can have a lower penalties associated with it, particularly small game. Right.
And so then we're going through, we're talking about big game. On the top of page 5, it goes back to an owner with a valid written damage prevention agreement may kill one large big game animal. And that's where, when I was reading this, and I went back to that first page, it said it's game or endangered or protected, because that's down at the bottom of that same page, B, unlawful to kill protected species. But if I was just reading it and I got halfway down the page, I'd say, oh, well, it's a game species. I can shoot one if it's in my commercial crops. Oh, wait, it's also a state and, you know, protected species. And so, again, when I was reading this, it didn't really jump out at me that if it's game and protected, then level or, you know, small I, too, doesn't apply, because it's the state listed trumps the game designation.
And so potentially we could add the term and in page 4 at the top.
Right.
It could say wildlife, classify wildlife as game, as endangered or protected, and or as a predatory bird.
Right. So that's actually where I was going with that. Mm-hmm. So it's clear that you can't assume because it's game that first half of the page applies. You have to say, is it game and is it also a state-listed species?
Right. There's two other protections built in, if you will, in this rule. The second one is that under 1B, it says that it's unlawful to kill protected species unless you have a permit from the agency or if there's a rule adopted by the commission. So that's helps
right
to make that distinction. In addition, subsection 6 at the end of this rule says that there's an exception that basically these rules don't provide any exception to abiding by all of the statutes, Title 77, as well as all of the WACs in 232. So any other protections that are in there or in those statutes and WACs would still be in place. So a couple of places where we're making sure that you can't make a mistake in terms of what you can kill legally and what you can't.
Right. And I've just been somewhat sensitized by all the WAC cleanup we've been doing for the past few months as far as making sure it reads and it's in the proper order. And so when I look at this WAC here, I think that we could actually make a benefit from a little bit more editing. Going to page 12, WAC 232-36-200, payment for commercial livestock damage limitation. Now, I apologize. I think I asked this question last time, but I don't have a clear recollection of the answer. The new sentence added is, livestock owners under written agreement with the department will be compensated consistent with their agreement, which may extend beyond the limitations in this section. So what is that opening us up to?
That was the idea that, again, was identified in the wolf compensation or the wolf conservation and management plan. That suggested that we could consider, the department could consider developing ways to pay for loss of weight gains, loss of pregnancy rates, and those other issues.
And so I guess I like the concept a lot, and I'm supportive of that. When I look at this language, it's sort of an open-ended where the department gets to negotiate with the individual livestock owner And we have, as a commissioner, we don't have anything in statute that sort of sets the overall, you know, going back to the Cooper approach, the outside bounds for this discussion. So if you're anywhere in that, it's great. If you go past that, then we want to ask questions, but we haven't set any of those sidebars, it seems like, for that discussion. Maybe it's too hard to do. It's just a concern I had by putting this language in here. I understand where we're trying to go. I'm just not sure how we implement it properly with a WAC language.
Right. We ended up doing that with in a couple of places in these conflict WACs, where the commission granted the latitude to the department to enter into agreements and to develop certain things. And the counsel that I received from the AG's office was that once you do develop them and they become understood, then that's the time to
come back
and bring them and put them into WAC.
Any other questions, comments? Time for a motion, then.
Well, I guess if I
Commissioner Jennings.
I didn't want to talk too long with that. I think I'd feel well for me. But so looking at that first sentence on page 4, mm-hmm. I guess I'm not comfortable moving forward and adopting it as written. So I get kind of scared trying to edit WAC language in a group process. So do we not move
the department
forward?
Would be willing to make that part of our recommendation to add the word "and" to those to that sentence in the classification?
And as endangered and or as predatory?
Yes, and I'll read that into the record.
Okay.
We're going to modify 232.36.051 on page 4. The first sentence in that rule would now say, "The Fish and Wildlife Commission is authorized to classify wildlife as game, as endangered or protected species,
and or
as a predatory bird."
I think what you didn't say was the game and endangered can be conditions that are both in place. Because you said game or as endangered, and I think it's and or endangered and or predatory.
Well, in this case, there wasn't an or, but we could add that as well.
Well, but I'm suggesting we should have an or
okay.
because
okay.
we can have as endangered but not game, which is what wolf is now.
One more run. The Fish and Wildlife Commission is authorized to classify wildlife as game and or as endangered or protected species and or as a predatory bird, consistent with the statutes.
Okay.
And so that's part of the agency's recommendation.
Okay, thank you. All right, then we're ready for a motion. Commissioner Duvia.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the amendment to WAC 232.36.030, WAC 232.36.051, WAC 232.36.100, WAC 232.36.200, and WAC 232.36.400 as proposed and amended as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded by Commissioner Jennings to adopt the WAC amendments as read and modified. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion carries. Thank you, Dave.